Another week, another episode of From the Sidelines. It's Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Let's talk some Cleveland Browns football with the legendary one and only John Tell. It's JT. Thank you for joining me, as always, my friend. How we doing?
Well, I'm doing great, and thank you for reading that intro exactly how I wrote it. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Let's talk about this 53-man roster that got released by the Cleveland Browns, and I'm just kind of curious your overarching thoughts on that final 53-man. I know there were people on Twitter or X or whatever it's called now, you know, kind of voicing their opinion about some surprises and a lack of surprises maybe, and our boy DTR, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, making his way up the depth chart as well since we last spoke. So a lot of interesting things to talk about with this 53-man.
Yeah, I think there really is, Rocco, and I think is also as we're chatting here very late on Wednesday morning, know that this is a interesting afternoon. Usually the day after the cuts, and then you'll see some movement across the league with guys going through waivers, not being claimed, getting signed off of other rosters. So, bear in mind that's gonna happen. The last time that we did talk, you were asking about DTR, and I said there's going to be a timetable sometime this year where he becomes the backup quarterback, and obviously it came rather quickly, and he forced their hand. I thought a lot of times you say don't take too much stock into what happens in the preseason, but I think this is a great example of a kid that looked like he was ready for prime time very early in camp, and then when he started playing in games, and just showed the natural ability to lead, to process, to make throws, to know when to run, to know when and I also understand it. A lot of stuff is vanilla in preseason. I get that, but he just looked the part, and they felt confident in sending away the guy that was. Let's just go back 365 days. You know, we were talking about Dobbs in the manner last year that we're talking about DTR this year. But they made the move. They got something for Dobbs with their trade with the Cardinals. And so we are off into one snap away, Dorian Thompson-Robinson. He is one snap away if Deshaun gets hurt from being the man in thrust in there. They are obviously interested in getting a third quarterback in. I'll give our buddy Zach Jackson, who always seems to know what's floating around rosters around the National Football League, a lot of credit. And, you know, he has two intriguing names, Bailey Zappe, Trevor Siemian. Those two guys, obviously Trevor, former Bengal, and then Bailey Zappe. I was sitting in the dog pound last year watching Bailey Zappe, of all people, and the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick slice and dice the Cleveland Browns defense. That was one discombobulated defense that we saw a year ago under another defensive coordinator. I don't expect anything like that this year with Jim Schwartz.
What do we make of the Cade York situation? Obviously, that was some pretty big news. Cade York shown the door. Dustin Hopkins from the Los Angeles Chargers brought in. And, given the preseason, I don't know how many people that truly surprised, but interesting to see the York era finally come to an end.
Yeah, and it's not unprecedented. This team has had other guys that they've drafted, and then the next year, those guys aren't on the roster. Zane Gonzalez is a recent example. And then there's another name that's escaping me right this moment, but they've had that precedent set previously where they draft a kid, and in the case of Mr. York, highly touted, great leg strength, able to kick the ball, acres and acres away. But I just thought that they have so much invested in this roster, Rocco. And the window is open for so many other primetime players, whether it's Nick Chubb or Myles Garrett or obviously Watson, and the offensive line being one of the top two or three in the National Football League. The window is here for them to really make noise this year. And I just don't think the psyche of everybody in Berea was strong enough to be able to go into the season knowing that if push came to shove and it's the last minute in the game, that they would feel comfortable running out Cade York. I mean, he had some egregiously bad-looking misses He had one that was blocked, but I mean, I could have blocked it. You know what I'm saying? It was had such low trajectory, and so it was worrisome. Now, obviously, Dustin Hopkins is a pro. He's been around. He's been pretty accurate in his career. He's the veteran that that's going to be called on to at least make the folks in Berea not have their hearts skip a beat or two when he goes out there onto the field. And there's another aspect of this. People are saying, you know, and Kevin Stefanski was asked on Tuesday, you know, they want to bring in another kicker. Is it possible that to their practice squad, is it possible that one of those guys could be Cade York? And he said rather quickly, oh, it's possible. But I don't know. Maybe Cade just needs, if he gets enough nibbles from teams elsewhere in the league, maybe he just needs to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I don't know. He's been haunted by the specter of Phil Dawson at the stadium and the winds of Lake Erie coming early and all that stuff. I just think maybe for his sake, he's still young. He's still got so much ahead of him. He needs to settle his mind, and I don't know if you can settle the mind with the organization where things just seem to unravel for you. He needs a fresh destination to go to, I think.
I would agree with you on that. As again, we're joined by John Telich this morning on Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. JT, in the pre-segment notes that you send me each and every week, you brought up a couple of interesting questions, and I want to address those here.
Yeah.
Talking about the most important player on both the offense and defense here for these Cleveland Browns. Offensively, you get Marquise Goodwin back this week, thankfully. He's coming back from those blood clots. Kind of a scary situation, but good to see him back. So we'll start with the offense. Who do you think, outside of obviously Deshaun Watson at the quarterback spot, who is going to be the biggest factor on offense this year?
Well, my answer of the most important guy on offense other than the quarterback, which everybody around the league would say that is your most important person, I'm going to go with Elijah Moore. And here's the reason or reasons why I say. I think if we're going to look back at the season and see the offense singing and Deshaun Watson being kind of free to play the level of football that he can play, I think you're going to need a dynamic playmaking person that can move all over the field, that has the speed to separate, that can be lined up in the backfield, can be put in motion, can be out wide, can be in the slot, can all over the field and make plays, kind of like we saw in that one drive that he was in a few weeks back. They went all the way down the field and they couldn't score. But, I mean, my point is you saw a glimpse of what that could be. I think if he is that kind of player for Deshaun Watson and for the offense, then it means that things are going well, that Nick's running when he needs to run and making effective cuts and that he's hitting Amari Cooper and that you're going to see David Njoku when Watson's out in the, you know, outside of the pocket, being able to identify him and throw the ball to him. But I think this guy is, you know, he's a Swiss Army knife, and I think he is he's going to have to be shown to the rest of the league that this is an aspect of Cleveland Browns offense that you have to be worried about. A very versatile young football player who, you know, kind of forced his way off the previous team. That's pretty much been well documented. So you worry about that. But by all intents and purposes and indications, he is, you know, loving the new atmosphere that he's in and wants to be that very prolific kind of player. So I think if he's having a good year, stays healthy, and can be that guy for Deshaun Watson, then that means that the Cleveland Browns offense is getting first downs and getting points.
Now, if we turn that question to the defense, is the answer Myles Garrett, or are we looking elsewhere for that?
Well, I also came back, maybe I should have preface that thing, some questions for the defense other than the obvious guy, Myles Garrett,
right.
You know, all world. Maybe that's my bad. So I'm going to talk about a couple of guys other than Myles, and I think we would assume that Myles is the best player.
For sure.
Not just on the defense, but on the, you know, obviously on the roster, mm-hmm. and one of the top players in the league. So here's a couple of names to think about defensively other than Myles Garrett. I think Oboe, he's part of that three-man rotation where he'll be an edge rusher. I think if he can be extremely effective when he's in there, that's good. You're going to see more snaps from him because Jim Schwartz likes to be creative, likes to be fast-moving, hard-charging, aggressive defense. So I think if he's getting some sacks along with Za'Darius and along with Miles, then that's a great sign. And for that to happen, I'm going to say another guy to tie with Oboe would be Dalvin Tomlinson. You know, veteran guy, one of those big bodies that could be in the inside that occupy people. If he's doing what he was brought and paid so much money to do, to come to Cleveland to do, then I think those two guys, if they're playing well, that would bode well for what Miles, what the linebackers, what the defensive backs and everybody is doing, trying to stop the other team from scoring.